If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, reading verses 11 to 16. This is Matthew, chapter 5, reading verses 11 to 16. And hear now the word of God. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, we've been through, as everybody knows, a very difficult time, and especially here in Asheville. You know, Asheville is a city of almost 100,000 people, and to have a city this large go this long without something as necessary as water is almost unconscionable. Our biggest problem in all of that we're going through right now in the city of Asheville is the fact that if people begin to ask questions about why it's taking so long, they're suddenly made to be quiet. They're suddenly silenced by people saying, you shouldn't ask questions like that. We're doing everything that we can. You shouldn't ask questions like that. Any criticism of what's taking place is met with charges of misinformation. And see, when that happens and people convict you of being a conspiracy theorist or having misinformation or disinformation, it immediately silences people who are asking legitimate questions about why is this taking place. And we can look back and have a timeline of things that are actually taking place, and we can say, well, why in the world wasn't that done? Why didn't that happen? Why was it 3 or 4 days before anything was put into action? But again, once we're asking questions like that, we're labeled as some sort of reactionaries or revolutionaries or whatever. You know, as a church, as a congregation here, we're required to avoid talking about politics. In 1954, Congress passed what was called the Johnson Amendment. It was put forth by Lyndon Johnson, who later became president of our United States. And this amendment was aimed at keeping what are called 501c3 organizations. That means churches, that means certain civic organizations. In fact, I wrote a list down of what it says. It says it prohibits all 501c3 nonprofit organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. Section 501c3 organizations are the most common type of nonprofit organization in the United States, ranging from charitable foundations to universities and to churches. So what they effectively did by passing this law was to stop churches from speaking about what's taking place here in our country. They say we're not allowed to talk about politics, but the truth is, much of what we're facing right now that has been labeled politics are moral issues. They're not political issues. So by saying you can't speak about politics and then labeling everything that's going on as politics, then they've shut down any opposition. I can't imagine that our forefathers, that those that gave everything they had for this United States of America, which, by the way, is not a democracy. It never has been a democracy. And when you hear people saying they're destroying our democracy, we have never had a democracy in this. This is a constitutional republic. Those of you that remember back in a time when we would say the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to this republic for which it stands. This is a republic, a constitutional republic. And because we're a republic, we have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. And these Bill of Rights are not privileges, they are rights. That means that if you were born as an American, you have been given certain inalienable rights that our government cannot take away. And one of them is freedom of speech, the very First Amendment. By silencing the churches, they have violated the Constitution and they have violated our rights to give our opinions about what's taking place. Now, we may be wrong. There are others that may be wrong, but they still have the right to speak their piece. And they say, you know, if the churches don't comply with this, well, we're just going to take away your tax-exempt status. That was the threat hanging over churches. Do you know something? Since 1954, there's not been one incident in America where churches lost their tax-exempt status. Not one time since 1954. But churches still somehow live under this threat that we can't speak to the immorality that's going on in our very country. Because if we do, somehow we are amiss. Somehow we're breaking the law and violating what we've been told that we can do. Who is it that's standing up for the fact that as Americans, we have the right to our opinions and our right to free speech? We have the right to criticize a government that is inept. But we're afraid to do it. Even saying this right now, there may be some people that say, you shouldn't even be talking about this. Yes, I should. Because these are not political issues. These are moral issues. And if the church can't speak to moral issues, what good is the church? You know something? Back during the Revolutionary War, it was the pastors of churches that rallied the people and showed them, this is evil. This is wrong. You need to be able to stand up. People like Cotton Mather, whose congregation upheld the Revolutionary War, and many of his men went into battle because this man was saying, this is evil and we need to stand against this. It came through the churches. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why this act, this Johnson Amendment, was passed, because people didn't want to give the church a voice. They didn't want to give pastors a voice. And now we can see in other countries like Canada that do not have the First Amendment. They do not have a constitution. Pastors are being put in jail for opposing the government. You know, we have been saved by Jesus Christ. We have been purchased with a price, and we belong to Him. And we have the responsibility to honor Him in what He says and what He tells us. And you know, the truth is that we've just gone through weeks of what we call the Beatitudes, when Jesus began to proclaim to the people, this is what it means to follow me. This is what it means to be born again of the Spirit. There are changes that take place in a person. You remember the first four all had to deal with the emptying out, you know, with the surrendering of ourselves to the Lord. And then the next three and possibly four all had to do with our being filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then it talked about the mercy and about everything that God produces in us so that we can do His will and do His work here on earth. And you see, right after Jesus spoke those Beatitudes And in the very next breath, he said, for you are the salt of the earth. Back before we began the Beatitudes, I preached a message on that. You're the salt of the earth. And I wanted to do that. And today is the follow-up. It's like the bookends that hold all that together. And that is, you are the light of the world. It's important that we know that Jesus said, I would like you to be. I'd like you to be the salt of the earth. It'd be my great desire for you to be the light. He didn't say that. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus was proclaiming our purpose here on earth. Why we're here. I've said this before, and I know it to be the truth, and that is that if God's purpose was just to save us, then as soon as we were saved, he'd take us away. He'd take us to heaven so we could be with him. But he left us here, and he left us here with a purpose. And the great purpose was that we're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world. You know, Jesus would always use the natural things of the world to explain the heavenly things, the eternal things. And that was so that people could understand the analogy that he was making. So when he talked about salt and he talked about light, that was something everybody could understand and draw conclusions from it. You know, he said, you're the salt of the earth. And we know that salt was used primarily, it was used to flavor things, make them taste better, but primarily it was used to stop corruption. It was used to prevent decay. And Jesus was pointing to our responsibility as believers to get into society and to prevent this corruption, to stop it. And I know sometimes we look at that and say, well, what am I? I'm just one voice. What am I? What can I do? Well, we can be one grain of salt. And when you get a lot of grains of salt, it can make a great big difference. And that's what God wanted. He wanted us to be change agents in our society. But he also said, you know, you're the light of the world. And he was pointing to the fact that as this world moves forward, it's going to grow darker and darker and darker. I think within the last 5 to 10 years, we have experienced a tremendous decline in morality in this country. Let's face it, if you can think back 10 years ago, did you ever imagine that we would have some of the things happening today? Could you ever imagine that that would have taken place? And sometimes we say, what would our parents have thought? What would former congregations have thought? It's just bewildering that things have taken the turn that they've taken here in this country. You know, you can't even watch a movie anymore or listen to somebody even on television without foul language one after another taking place. And like it said about Lot, it said his righteous soul was vexed. And if you have a heart for the Lord and you want to do his work, just to hear these things stirs you up inside. When people use the name of Jesus as a curse word, it's just something that grates on us as Christians. But he said, you're to be the light of the world. When the world around us is getting darker and darker, we're supposed to be the ones that shine the light on it. We're told, don't even participate in these deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. How do you expose them? By shining the light on them. And when we know that there's corruption, when we know that there's evil, when we know that these things are taking place, God's saying, as believers, as followers of Jesus, it's your responsibility to shine light on it. Expose it. Don't let it continue. Because as it continues, it corrupts more and more and more people. You know, there's so many times when we look back and we say, why in the world did we ever let that go? Why in the world did we ever allow something like Roe versus Wade to be passed and now over 50 million babies have been put to death. And they're not pieces of tissue, those are babies. And in Revelation it says, the cry of the innocent is heard from on high. These are the most innocent, the ones who can't protect themselves at all. And as a church, we've not stood up and gone against it. I know that there have been groups that have. I was reading about what happened in Germany, about the churches in Germany under Hitler, and how after the war was ended, how many of those churches went through great times of grieving and repentance because they knew that terrible things were going on, but they didn't have the fortitude to stand up against it and say, this is not right. Because they knew if they did, they'd probably be put to death. And so they wouldn't do it. There was a time. There was a time when they could have done something. When they could have stopped it. The Nazis only comprised about 10 to 12% of the population of Germany. All of Germany was not behind Hitler. The ones that weren't, who were in the great majority, kept their mouths shut. They didn't say anything. And they had to pay a terrible price for that. I look at America today. I look at the United States today, right now, as we have this election coming up. And everybody has the right to do their own research and to find out what it is that they're voting for. And I know that right now in this country, personalities have become a major issue. And people may stand against somebody because of their personality. That shouldn't, maybe that does factor into some degree, but that should not be the deciding point. We should look at what's being proposed. We should look at the total picture to see whether we want to go down a path that will lead us to socialism and ultimately communism if we continue down that path. That's not even a question. That's a reality. But how in the world can we speak out if we've been censored? If we have agreed to allow our own government to say, you can't talk about that, why? Why is that we can't talk about that? Because the Supreme Court decided something that went against the Constitution? You know, both salt and light require personal involvement. We can't stand back and let somebody else do it. We have to be a part of it. You know, as long as you leave the salt in the salt shaker, it doesn't change anything. But you know, if you take it out of the salt shaker and pour it on meat, it'll keep it from decaying. If you pour it in a stew, it'll flavor it. But it's got to get out there. The light can't pierce darkness unless you take the bushel off of it and you put it on a stand so that everybody can see it. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. He said, let your light so shine among men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. That's what he commanded. It wasn't a suggestion. But you know, our enemy does his very best to stop this, to keep it from happening. You know, the greatest light this world has ever seen spiritually is the coming of Jesus. And John, the Gospel of John 1:9 said this, that the one true light coming into the world enlightened every man. There was a benefit to all of humanity because Jesus came here. And what happened as a result in order to stop that light? They killed Jesus. They put him to death. Even though for 3 years they saw what he did, how he benefited everybody, they put him to death. What about the disciples of Jesus? You know, they put obstacles in the path of every single one of them. We read about Paul in the book of Acts, where he says there's a wide door of effective service and there are many adversaries. He didn't say but. He wasn't making an excuse. He just said, the more work we do for the Lord, the greater are the obstacles. It's not easy. It's a battle. It's a fight. In this world, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 and 38, the writer of Hebrews talks about those people, those individuals that were standing up for the light, that were standing up for truth in the past. And it says this, verse 36, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And they were doing this because of their unwillingness to change their view of God, to refusing to deny that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Lord, that he is the King of all. And because of that, they suffered tremendous persecution. You know, right now, the enemy is trying very hard to use intimidation to shut us up. Our own government is using intimidation to stop us from seeking out the truth and knowing what the truth is so that we can make intelligent decisions in this coming election. Nobody can tell me otherwise. We're being intimidated. We're being called fearmongers. We're being called bearers of misinformation. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't be intimidated by these things. It's almost as if we're watching something with our own eyes and somebody says, you don't really see that. That's not really happening. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. Come on. You know, what if our forefathers had given in to this? What if they'd been intimidated by the most powerful army in the world? Churches and pastors during the Revolutionary War spoke freely about the evils of government. They weren't afraid to do that. You see, this is our heritage as Christians and as believers here in this country. And we have been guaranteed by our Constitution, by our Bill of Rights, that we have the right to do that. It's not a privilege. It's not something that could be taken away by any government in this world, including our own. We have the right to speak out and say, this is the truth. So what if we allow ourselves to be intimidated? And we don't speak out to these issues. Well, that's what Jesus meant when he said, what if the salt loses its saltiness? What's it good for? Nothing. It's like the lukewarm believer that's spoken of in Revelation. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're just lukewarm, so I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That's what Jesus said. What if the light is hidden? What if we put it under a bushel and we hide our light? We keep to ourselves. Let somebody else do it. I don't want to get in trouble. In the same way, it's useless. It's useless. You know, we're not to hide the light that God's given us. We're to let it shine. Just let it shine. So what can we expect as a result if we do? Because that's always the issue. Well, what could happen? What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. From the world, we're going to be persecuted. See, in the passage that we read this morning, that's what it says. It said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Yeah, we will be persecuted. We will be called names. But what happens if we go ahead and share it? If we let the light shine? Well, the very next verse says this: rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. That's the other side of the coin. And I got to tell you, if we have a choice, we should choose to please God and not our government. We please God and not people who are condemning us. From the Lord we receive our reward in heaven. You know, we've got some big decisions to make, and the time is rapidly approaching. And we can see all the confusion that's going on right now. We can see a lot of deceit that's going on right now. And it's time for us to make a decision about these things, about where we stand, what we're going to do. And I hope that our decision is going to be that we're going to let our light shine. We're going to stand up for what we know is right, for what's true. I think most of us probably years ago when we were in Sunday school or Bible school or whatever, we learned a song called This Little Light of Mine. And I want us to sing that if we could. And it goes like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we're so grateful and thankful that you have opened up our hearts and our minds to you and to your word. That, Lord, you've called us to be your own and to stand firm against the evil of this world. So, Lord, I pray that we would be the salt, that we would be the light, that we would continue to proclaim you as our Lord and Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please stand and turn to number 378. Soldiers of Christ, arise. We'll sing the first two verses now and the third one after the benediction.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.